Our first scripture reading today comes from Psalm chapter 112, verses 1 through 9. Praise the Lord! Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. They are gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with those who deal generosity and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. They will be remembered forever. They are not afraid of evil tidings. Their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady. They will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have disturbed freely. They have given to the poor. They have their righteousness endures forever. Their horn is exalted in honor.
Our second scripture reading today is from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 9a. Hear the word of the Lord. Shout out, do not hold back, lift your voices like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways. As if there were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast but not see? Why humble ourselves but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your first day and oppress all your workers. Look, only fast, only to quarrel and to fight, and to strike with the wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I chose, a day to humble yourself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I chose? To loose your bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of your yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring forth up quickly. Your vindictor shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your regard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am."
You know, it is in and through worship, it is in and through our time in the sanctuary where we are reminded of much. Sometimes we learn those lessons for the very first time in worship as our scouts and other children get settled at table. But, you know, sometimes we just need those reminders. Some of you golf. I golf. On occasion, not as much as I probably should to be any better. But one of the advantages that we have in this day and age is that you can watch videos on YouTube some of the best instructors for whatever you're doing. You could be cooking or sewing or building something or playing a sport. And so, you know, I sometimes just find myself watching, how in the world, you know, I don't have any problem usually with my driver. My putting is okay. My chipping is fair. My irons are just brutal. And so I watched that. And so I watched it. And yesterday I found myself at the driving range. And I did something that I watched on the video, and I just went, wow, that actually makes a difference. I was not turning my hips. I wasn't really finishing my swing, and I had just forgot that over time. Sometimes we need reminders about how things ought to be, and Jesus does that early in his ministry. First with his disciples. So imagine, and as the scholars have studied the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' sermon, that it was directed primarily, understood at, just towards his disciples as he had gathered. But he also was saying that, and others were gathered in kind of an outer circle, so they were also hearing this message. They were hearing this story, this understanding of what it means to follow. And so we find these words today, which become a reminder for us as well. So if you want to turn with me, I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. Some of the words that Brooke just shared with the children. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, once again, we would ask that you would give us the eyes to see, and the ears to hear, and the hearts and minds what you would say to us this day. And for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I was listening to a message on this passage shared by a pastor, and he referred to an author, a pastor. Some of you went through and read, perhaps were part of a study, The Purpose-Driven Church, or The Purpose-Driven Life, Pastor Rick Warren. And he tells a story of an encounter. This was in an interview that he had with a bodybuilder. Now, I've already mentioned my interest in golf. Bodybuilding is not anything that I have ever made a real attempt at. You know, I think the only thing that physical that I ever did is I prepared and ran a marathon. That was it. Checked that off the bucket list almost 20 years ago. But in this conversation with this bodybuilder, he wanted to know what the purpose was. What is the purpose of you eating all this food and doing all you do to build your body up and make it such? What's the purpose? And the bodybuilder, this is in front of a crowd, the bodybuilder got up in front of everybody and just... and the crowd roared. And the bodybuilder sat back down. And so the conversation, the interview goes on and says, But what is the reason for this? Like, what's the purpose? Like, what do you find in this? And the bodybuilder simply just came up again, and the bodybuilder posed once again in front of the crowd, and the crowd erupted. That's all that the bodybuilder said was in this action, and the bodybuilder sat back down. And thus was the end of this interview, this questioning. For this was the purpose, that the bodybuilder did what the bodybuilder did. We find these words in Scripture today about salt and light. Two very powerful metaphors for us. What if salt loses its saltiness? Now, my quick science of that, of sodium chloride, is that it is an extremely stable compound. It doesn't necessarily lose its saltiness, but impurities can get into the salt and lessen its effectiveness. But we know what salt does, right? I mean, we know that, and some of us, yes, we have to watch our salt intake. But yes, like green beans with no salt, that's like grits. That's like grits. Those of you from the South who eat grits, no salt, no go. I had some popcorn the other night at a basketball game. They use too much salt, I'll say that. A lot of salt. You know what that means. And so we find ourselves in this idea, this understanding of what is it about being salt and light. Greg Ogden is an author, a pastor, a teacher. And in his book, The Discipleship Essentials, he writes a definition of what a disciple is. As we're talking this day about being reminded of what it means to be a disciple, to be a follower of Christ, he writes this: a disciple is one who responds in faith and obedience to the gracious call of Jesus. Being a disciple is a lifelong process of dying to self while allowing Jesus Christ to come alive in us. Dying to self while allowing Christ to come alive in us. It is a process of construction, under construction. Some of you, I lived for a while I was in seminary in the Atlanta area. Some of you have been through Atlanta. Actually, all of you probably have been through Atlanta. You know the saying that in order to get to a certain place, you're probably going to have to pass through Atlanta. It's just the way it is. But Atlanta, ever since the first day that I went there as a young child, the roads have been under construction. I haven't been to Atlanta in the last 6 months, but my guess, somewhere within that perimeter that now has an outer perimeter, somewhere there is construction on the road. Anybody attest to that who's been in and through Atlanta in the last six, still? Thank you, Jim. Still the same. Under construction. Use that, though, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. Use that idea, that image for your life and our life. That God is not finished with us yet, so we haven't arrived. The project is not complete as God continues to work in and through each of our lives and our life together. We are encouraged to encourage one another. We are equipped to equip one another. We are challenged to challenge one another as believers, as disciples of Christ. Rebecca Pippert, she wrote a book years ago. I read this book when I was in college as I was in a discipleship study. It was entitled Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World, about going beyond the walls of the church, of which we're called to do. She quotes in her book a simple phrase. She says, Jesus put people into crisis by compelling them to do something. See, sometimes we just find ourselves here. In fact, the majority of mainline Protestants, maybe a majority of people who attend worship, just commit to 1 hour per week. Done. check the box off. That's all I do. That's not necessarily a bad thing, and we're grateful that you're here if that applies to you. But Jesus puts people into crisis by compelling them to do something. Because we have purpose. We find our identity in and through God's church here in this place. In the midst of all of the challenges that come our way. How is it that we respond to those challenges? It's the same way as you read of the early church and the persecution of the church. Those are the influences from outside the faith that often cause us to lose sight of what we've been called to do and to be. There are many different ideas for what it means to be a disciple, but here are six marks of discipleship. You can check these off in your life. Daily prayer, number one. Number two, weekly worship. So far, we prayed today and you're here. Two for two. Okay? Two for two. Bible study. Well, we can say we looked through the Bible, but I'm not sure if Jeff had you stand if you were in his Sunday school class today, or if June had you stand and you were in her Sunday school class today. Now, I'm not sure what you did at your own home in terms of Bible study, but that's number three. Daily prayer, weekly worship, Bible study. Number four, service to others and sharing one's faith would be number four. Service to others and sharing one's faith. Five, spiritual friendships or relationships. Who are you doing life with? Who are you living life with? Who's in the pew with you? As I think I said also last week, who's not in the pew with you? And the last is generous giving. All of who you are and all of what you have being used in and through the church for the glory of God. Because as we find in Scripture this day, especially as what it means to be salt and light in the world, that it is beyond these walls, out in this community and out in this world. This, for us as disciples, it's not just information, it is a warning to take seriously the call of the mission, a call to mission, the task, the responsibility of being the church in the world. And so Jesus teaches his disciples in and through the Sermon on the Mount and others also here, as we even hear and are reminded this day. True discipleship sheds light on the world around it. That's this idea of the light and hiding it under that bushel so that nobody can see it. No, we're called to go out into the world and to let light shine. This morning I was reminded of that as I was putting on my dress, as I was putting on my robe, and I put on the stole that I got when I was in Paraguay. You know, on a mission trip serving from someone in the airport. And as I've shared with you before, it's got the Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney on it, which is a reminder constantly for me that God calls us and gives us and equips us to do the ministry of the church in the world. And so that's what this stole's all about. In fact, right in the middle of it is the flag of Paraguay. And then just the colors that represent all of the children, all of the people of the world. Jesus tells those wishing to follow him that they must make a difference in the world. In and through their words, and in and through their actions. Jesus tells those wishing to follow him that they must make a difference to follow. To follow him and to make a difference in the world. What's our purpose? It's for you to start to look at that as an individual, as a believer, to consider what that means for your life and for our life together beyond these walls. I mean, what happens here is good, and we hear that in our benediction. We hear that to be inwardly strong. That means simply that we would be a praying people, that we would be a studying people, that we would be engaged in fellowship, in Christian relationship with one another. That's what it means to be inwardly strong. We can skip over and say, as we're upwardly focused, we know that it is because of God, as God works in and through God's Spirit, in and through each of our lives and our life together, that we are equipped to do what God has called us to do beyond these walls. And so we become outwardly minded. Yes, what happens here matters. It's vital to discipleship and the Christian faith. But we're called always beyond these doors. Jesus tells those wishing to follow him that they must make a difference in the world. Friends, thanks be to God for God's word this day for us. Amen.